when the truth is now treason, a podcast that annihilates the lies but defends justice and truth, particularly the truth.
Welcome to Truth Is Now Treason, and I'm Lennox, and he is Dumbo. We are glad, traitors, to have you here today, and we're going to be looking at Israel again. This is our second episode, and in our first episode, we mentioned that we might be talking about this for a continued amount of time because we don't know how this is going to play out.
Yeah, as you're going to see in this episode, there's not a shadow of a doubt that we here at Truth Is Now Treason stand firmly with Israel. Israel has the right to defend their nation, and our prayer here is that she will stand firm and react with wisdom when defending her right to exist and the right of its citizens to live free.
And we believe that the policy of the United States should reflect this as well, and that Israel does have a right to protect and defend itself, and not just defend itself, but that means annihilate your enemy so that way it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely.
When this first went down on October 7th, President Biden did come out and he had a conversation with the leader of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And he told him, he said, this is Biden talking, "I told him, Netanyahu, if the United States experienced what Israel was experiencing, our response would be swift, decisive, and overwhelming." And I think that statement couldn't be more perfect. That's exactly what our response should be.
Yeah. Now, honestly, I wish that was the end of the episode. We could just sign off with that and say, hey, Biden did something right. Unfortunately, we can't. The fact of the matter is that this is nowhere near the end of the story. There is truly only one position that any humanitarian, anybody who loves their fellow man, can have in regards to this. And that is that Israel must be allowed to strike Hamas down until Hamas and anybody else like them would fear to ever strike at Israel.
Yeah, we cannot have half measures. I mean, you're never going to win against your enemy if you use half measures. Evil is evil, and there is no doubt about it. What happened to Israel was evil, and this is probably the problem with the left. Anybody who's a liberal, anybody who stands on the left, they usually will have trouble calling anything evil unless it is something that reflects Judeo-Christian values. Let's start off with the one and only former President Barack Obama and what he had to say about this Israel conflict.
If there's any chance of us being able to act constructively to do something, it will require an admission of complexity.
It will require an admission of complexity. So what's Barack Hussein Obama saying here? It's a complex problem. There's nuance involved, and we need to see things from every point of view. So that's what he's saying. So I would love for Barack Hussein Obama to explain to me what exactly I need to understand in regards to the garbage that was flying hang gliders and celebrating as they were killing unarmed civilians. And if you're not sure what I'm referring to with that, when this attack happened, there were a bunch of terrorists from Hamas flying hang gliders over a music festival in Israel, shooting down at unarmed civilians who were no threat to them whatsoever. That is pure evil, plain and simple.
What do I need to understand about the mind of those who were beheading babies in front of their families? What political nuance could I gather from terrorists who were raping women? Please, Barack, enlighten us. Well, I'm sure he will, because here is the next clip from his speech.
That what Hamas did was horrific, and there's no justification for it. And what is also true is that the occupation and what's happening to Palestinians is unbearable.
So he says what Hamas did was wrong. But then listen to his words, because these words were very carefully chosen by him because they have a specific meaning. He says, "The occupation and what is happening to Palestinians is unbearable." The occupation? What did he mean by that?
Well, he means that the Jewish people should not have a state in this region of the world, or any region of the world. This land does not belong to them. And we're going to explain this conflict between the Palestinians and Israel in a future episode, but he thinks that it belongs to the Palestinians. And he's using the language of the PLO, Hamas, Hezbollah, and every other terrorist group that murders Jewish civilians for fun. He is using the language of rapists and baby murderers, and this is pure evil, and it is sick.
You have to take in the whole truth, and you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean.
So he said, you have to take in the whole truth. Now that is so rich, coming from the king of lies. The whole truth is that the citizens of Gaza elected the leaders of Hamas as their politicians in 2005. They brought this upon themselves. Now, I wonder why he doesn't bring that up, because Barack knows this. There's no doubt about it. The citizens of Gaza have rejected numerous attempts at peace because they see the elimination of Israel as the only solution. That is the whole truth, Barack.
And then the most laughable part is when Mr. Obama says, nobody's hands are clean. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to disagree with you, Barack, because if anyone has dirty hands in regards to all of this, it started with you. When you were president, you gave Iran $400 million in the last days of your leadership. And you are the ones who lifted sanctions on Iran so that they could sell their oil. And you got us into the Iran nuclear deal. Every step that you took for 8 years as the destructor of the free world was to hurt Israel and to support terrorism. And I have to say this. Many Christians voted for this man. To any believer who's listening, these people are anti-Israel, which means we should not cast one vote for these people in the future. Not that he's going to run again, but...
He already ran for the third time and pretty soon the fourth time.
But you know these people on the left in this political party are anti-Israel. We're seeing it all over. So anyway, listen to this next part.
So Iran, after the Biden administration came in and stopped all the sanctions, and they had $50 to $70 billion in additional oil revenues, we were giving them sanction relief. Obama had done that. Trump had stopped it.
So every move that you made while you were president was a move to weaken Israel and strengthen its enemies. You know, just a cursory knowledge of Barack and his politics tells you this. Unfortunately, this is also the case with Joe Biden, his sock puppet. Listen to this information that came from a CNN article. There's a link in the podcast episode description.
Yeah, the link's there if you wanted to read the full article from CNN. Basically, what it says is that Joe Biden and his top advisors are now giving Israel warnings, saying that, hey, you may not want to be able to pursue your military goals in Gaza right now because there's such an outcry globally. They're against you, so you need to use a measured response to the murder of your own citizens.
Well, and here's why we are seeing this supposed global outcry. There's more than a billion Muslims in this entire world. Israel is a very small nation comparatively. And so we expect this nation of Israel to be the only nation in the entire world that can't respond to being attacked.
Yeah. So Biden wants there to be a measured response to the murder of its own citizens, and even including American citizens. So what happened to the swift, decisive, and overwhelming response, Dietrich?
Yeah, I guess that went out the window, didn't it? Oops. You know, Biden wants to tell Israel how to fight. You know, look at what his Secretary of State, Blinken, had to say. He said that at the United Nations that humanitarian pauses must be considered. And this was fortunately a move that Israel rejected. You know, basically what he wants is for Israel to take long pauses in their fighting Hamas to allow Hamas to reinforce their positions, allowing them to protect their terrorists, which in turn puts Gazan citizens in danger, because we know they are using these citizens as living shields to protect themselves. And this then puts Israeli military in greater danger. Any thinking person can see this is not how you fight a war. You do not give your enemy a chance to regroup. You pound them mercilessly. You do not win a war by giving the enemy a breather. You win a war by putting 1,000 of their troops in a body bag for every one of yours they put in the hospital. Why do you fear this? But he isn't the only one in this regime that thinks this way.
More than 500 employees of President Joe Biden's administration shows who they're hiring, folks. They have signed an open letter demanding Biden pursues a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. The letter states, "We represent a coalition of Biden-Harris administration political appointees and civil servants positioned across the domestic, here in the United States, and foreign policy spheres outside the United States, working in federal agencies, departments, independent agencies, and the White House."
It goes on to say, "We call on President Biden to urgently demand a ceasefire and to call for the de-escalation of the current conflict by securing the immediate release of the Israeli hostages and arbitrarily detained Palestinians, the restoration of water, fuel, electricity, and other basic services, and the passage of adequate humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip."
Biden has 400 to 500 people working in his administration who are pro-terrorists. They're defending Hamas. You think I'm lying? Listen to their own words. "Securing the immediate release of the Israeli hostages and arbitrarily detained Palestinians." So they're accusing Israel of just detaining these Palestinians, just picking people and searching them and holding them as hostage. So that's what our administration are all accusing Israel of doing.
You know, these are spineless people who think Israel being able to defend themselves is horrible. But then again, we are dealing with people who are scared to call bigotry, bigotry.
I know John Kirby addressed the protests on college campuses, and I appreciate that the president respects First Amendment rights to protest, but does the president view anti-Israel protests and sentiment on college campuses as anti-Semitism?
So look, I'm not going to get into what's happening across the country and at different universities, not going to get into the specifics. As the admiral said, the First Amendment right? That's what something, peaceful protest is really part of our democracy.
So if you have not seen it, we have seen surges of anti-Semitism all across the United States in our cities and our college campuses, unfortunately. But this spokesperson from the White House, this is Biden's mouthpiece, she won't address what it is. She goes on to blabbing about the First Amendment and how this regime supposedly loves freedom of speech. But this is the same regime who was shutting down conservative speech on social media, you know, before the election. And if you don't know what we're talking about, look up the Elon Musk Twitter file scandal, or we cover this in First Freedom episode one or two.
Yes, she did this because she fears calling hatred what it is. Why? Because the Biden regime is seeking re-election, and they know if they were to back Israel too much, they might lose the Arab vote, and they desperately need that to win Michigan.
So they're trying to appease itching ears so they can keep their power. Biden's own spokesperson is afraid to give her opinion on people who are chanting for the annihilation and the destruction of Israel. When people are chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free," they are chanting that they want all of the Jews to be killed and the land given to Palestinians. And this is the woman who is the voice for our president who is saying this. She fears to speak the truth, or she doesn't care about the truth, one or the other. And if you're unable to speak the truth, then you are unable to defend those who are being attacked by evil.
You know, also, she was not asked if this was speech protected by the First Amendment. She was asked if this was anti-Semitic. The answer is obvious. Yes, it is. But her fear of the truth is what keeps her in chains, because the truth will set you free. Until next time, my fellow traders.